Get to Kellis Robinette on here this segment to talk about what happened in Lubbock. More late-game troubles for the Wildcats. Kellis was there. We'll ask him how things were handled by Bruce Weber, Barry Brown, and others after the game. Mitch Holtis is coming up at 5:25 as well, an hour two of the show. Really looking forward to that. Not only has he called some K-State hoops recently, I'm sure he is absolutely wired right now because the Chiefs are going to host a home playoff game for the first time in what seems like a very long time this weekend against the Pittsburgh Steelers. As far as last night is concerned and the loss to Texas Tech, here is a little snippet from Bruce Weber in his radio interview after what was just another heartbreaker for K-State, a one-point loss at Texas Tech after they had a four-point lead and the basketball with about 2 minutes left to go.
Yeah, I don't know what to say, Wyatt. I'm just sad for our kids. And, you got to go on the road and fight and grind. We knew they were good. I mean, they're close to being the top 25 team.
I can relate a little bit to how he felt right after that. I mean, you get the sense of deja vu right after the loss happens. You also just have to throw your hands up in some ways. Like, man, these guys are going to be so close so many times. It feels like, when are they going to start to get over the hump? It's a little taste of what Bruce Weber had to say after the game from last night. We welcome in Kellis Robinette, K-State beat writer from the Wichita Eagle and the Kansas City Star. I'll ask you, Kellis, did it feel totally like deja vu from last Tuesday, last night?
It was close, for sure. I mean, for the game to come down, do another controversial play on the road, one possession deal, yeah, definitely some aspects to it. In hindsight, after going back and watching, I think they actually probably had a tougher time with some things in this game than at Allen Fieldhouse. I know the running joke in the league is that the place you're going to go and get the least calls is Lawrence, but I was saying really at halftime that the way Kansas State was playing, the refs weren't agreeing with it, and they were going to have to change their style or something was going to have to give because they weren't getting the benefit of the doubt on a lot of those calls for sure.
Well, you were there and talked to Bruce Weber and some of the players afterwards. I mean, Bruce Weber sounded pretty defeated in the interview that he did with Wyatt on the radio, and I totally understand. I mean, it's a heartbreaker the way that it came down. How did you feel like they handled things afterwards?
It was pretty similar to Lawrence, at least from Bruce. What I've come to realize the last couple games is he's really fired up after games like that. He talks a lot less than normal. I mean, you and I both know that when he's in a really good mood and he's just one, he can go on and on and on in that post-game press conference. But here in Lawrence and in Lubbock, it was really short. Didn't have a whole lot to say on topics other than that he was, you know, upset, disappointed, and thought the team would bounce back. Barry Brown was the only player we got to talk to, and he seemed pretty demoralized by it, just that all three of their losses have come this way. One possession, they lost to one. They lost to Maryland by one. They lost to Kansas by two. Now they lose to Texas Tech by one. And, you know, you could sit back and say, well, they're 4 points away from 16-0. So, I mean, I know that's not going to be a consolation prize here. They need to start finding ways to win those games. But it's just kind of crazy how all these games keep coming down to the wire and ending in seemingly the same way.
Kellis Robinette, K-State beat writer, talking with me here on the game. You did bring up the officials and the officiating throughout the game. Did you feel like it was substantially more than what you're typically going to deal with on the road in the Big 12?
Oh, not substantially, no. I think that's what most people tend to forget whenever it comes time to blame officials. Every home team gets it when teams come into Bramlage. Kansas State gets more calls than they do. It's just a fact of life. People have written books about it. You know, the refs, as good or bad as they are, just for whatever reason favor the home team slightly in all sports. So I didn't think that this was much different than that. The only call that surprised me, especially going back and looking at it, was the technical at the end. I actually thought right when it happened, looking at the end of Kansas State's bench where the coaches were and the grad assistants, they were the most fired up about the play, to the point where they were screaming at the ref nearest to them and even waving their hands right in the guy's face that, we want a foul. They hit Barry Brown. He's got to go to the line. And as I saw that, I thought, you know, that's close to over the line. They should maybe be careful there. So what was interesting was that official didn't think anything of it and walked the other way, and there was another official who came in and saw Bruce Weber just standing nonchalantly outside of the coach's box, and that's the guy who teed him up. So that's what was surprising about it. I going back and looking at the guy who called it and what Bruce was doing at that time, it's really puzzling that he would get a foul call like that. And kind of the golden rule in officiating is you're not supposed to compound a questionable call by further punishing the team that is, you know, may be hurt by it. So that was puzzling, but the rest, all the other calls, you know, they're judgment calls. They could go either way. But before that point, Kansas State had four possessions with the lead, chances to add on to it, and you end up with Kamau Stokes missing a free throw, missing a floater. DJ Johnson can't hold on to a rebound. Wesley Wundu just throws the ball away with 20 seconds to go. And remember, all of these plays come in the final 2 minutes with Kansas State leading. If they convert at all or execute any better, just like in Lawrence, if Dean Wade hits that last shot or Wesley Wundu grabs a rebound and makes a putback, officiating isn't even a topic. So it's very, very interesting. You can see it in a lot of ways after a game like that.
I'll ask you this because I've seen some people with the thought process it's not necessarily fair to connect some of the close losses last year. There were the three overtime losses, a couple others by 3 points or less for K-State during the Big 12 season. Now this year we've seen the Maryland game come down to the wire. You blow a lead late in this one. Maybe I shouldn't even include the Kansas game because they did play pretty darn well in that game. But is it fair to say that there are similarities here in the way some of these games have gone down the wire in the last couple of seasons and think that that is a major concern moving forward?
I do. I don't think you can totally segregate last season from this season. A lot of the problems still linger. I mean, who's the go-to guy? Who do they want to have the ball in the clutch? I think they actually had a pretty good setup in Lawrence when Bruce said, all right, it's either going to be Wes driving or Dean shooting. And then in Lubbock, you've got Dean Wade fouled out. I guess Johnson fouled out after Barry Brown's last play. So in that situation, it was without Dean on the floor, they just seemed really lost. They had Wesley running the point, and everybody else was just backed off in the corners. And, you know, what Wesley just trying to purely create isn't really what you want. Kansas State is, Bruce says it every day, he thinks they're best when they're versatile, moving the ball around. I would have preferred them to run a set play in that situation and try to do something with that, because they do have a lot of shooters on the floor this year. And I think until they can figure out a way to utilize that in clutch situations, this is going to be a problem that persists. But by the same token, you know, you see this happen where sometimes, you know, it's just a deal with a team getting out of its comfort zone, where this right now is their comfort zone. They're used to losing these games, but just one of these days, if they figure out a way to win it, they can break out of it and start doing it more often. They've just got to figure out a way to do it here pretty soon.
Yeah, it's Robinette talking with me on the game. You know, the blessing and the curse of playing in the Big 12 is that there may be a lot of games like this. That can be a bad thing if you can't find a way to win some of them, but it's also a good thing in that 12 of the next 15 games are against top 60 RPI teams, so you're going to have a lot of chances to add some decent wins to your resume. And the next one up is Baylor, who we just saw get clubbed last night by West Virginia. What do you think K-State's chances are on Saturday of tacking another loss onto the Bears?
Well, I like their chances. I'm not quite sure. I mean, it's going to be a tough game, don't get me wrong, but right now I'd almost probably favor Kansas State very, very slightly. Baylor is the surprise of the league, very good, and lost their first game against West Virginia, and they're going to be, I mean, it's a tough week for them. It's a tough week for Kansas State, but to go on the road twice like West Virginia has, that's a lot to ask of any team. I guess the interesting matchup here will be, I mean, Baylor just did a terrible job handling that press. They turned it over, it seemed like, every possession, and like you said, they ended up getting clubbed. That's really not what Kansas State does. Sometimes they'll do a three-quarters press or something like that, but nothing all game. They don't have the depth to play with them in that way. I think really it'll come down to Kansas State. They've got the improved shooting this year. Baylor plays that zone. If they can move it around and Kamau Stokes can make some threes, Barry Brown can make some shots, and they can make Baylor maybe even get out of the zone, which we've seen them do from time to time, and play K-State's brand of ball, they'll have a good chance. But It'll be a game of motivation for both. I mean, Baylor's number one for the first time ever, and they're not going to be number one next week, so a little bit luster is lost there. Kansas State's number 25, ranked the first time in 3 years, and they need to beat Baylor to have any chance of staying in the top 25. So two teams with a lot to play for. Kansas State probably has a little bit more to play for given a lot in the last two weeks. So I think that'll help them at least be in the game and give them a chance.
Should be a good one, 3:30 on Saturday here in Manhattan. Kellis, did you make it out of Lubbock without trying the fried cheese this time?
Yeah, I skipped Spanky's, but I did see the huge sign outside that said fried cheese. I thought of it, but I'm more of a Mexican guy when I go to Lubbock. If you ever go down there another time, you should try Rosa's Tortilla Factory. Lubbock, that originated in Lubbock, kind of a mini
okay.
around Texas. It's really good Mexican food. I definitely recommend it.
There we go. Travel advice from Kellis Robinette here on the game. Kellis, appreciate the time as always, man. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys.
All right, there's Kellis Robinette here on the game. Mitch Holtis is coming up at 5:25, voice of the Chiefs, to talk about what Kansas City has coming up on Sunday against the Pittsburgh Steelers. We'll go around college basketball, hit some of those Big 12 games from last night when we come back, but we also have yet another incident from college basketball's biggest lightning rod. You're listening to the game.